Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. I'll never stop marveling at the wonder of technology. Is it not absolutely phenomenal and amazing that people around the world could actually be tuning in and listening to us anywhere in the world? And today, Daniel Seckham calling in from Australia, and he's got some wonderful things to share with us. I know that there is a lot more on his part of the world, and since he has been with us, actually, we've all been recognizing more and more events that are taking place. But let me ask you this. Last night, did anybody take the time to watch the Democratic candidate debate with CNN? Did anybody get out there and listen to what they said? And it's so bizarre. If you did, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about it. Number one, I think that's most important. What did you walk away with that? I mean, I did not watch the whole thing. I made sure I gave it about 30 minutes. And I guess I got up and walked away when I realized that Peter Buttigieg was flirting on Lemon. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, maybe I should get out of there and, you know, leave that whole circus act alone. But in a more sincere light, everything that was being said on that stage was basically, you know, getting rid of Donald Trump. When is the last time that somebody ran for an office or ran for the presidency of the United States of America based upon the idea candidate? And the whole idea, I mean, when do people run? That idea is the question, I guess, that I have. And so let me just make sure I'm at a different little place here in my, want to make sure we're still going. Are we still broadcasting? Okay, so we're getting a little touchy on this one. Let's see. Okay, so we're good. We are good. We're going through we're broadcasting a little bit different spot right now. And again, we're waiting for our brother Daniel to come on in and join us in the radio broadcast. So get there in a little bit. But getting back to what I was saying, the Democratic issue, the party that was going on there. Hold on. Issue going on here. Uh-oh. And then we're going to get this resolved right now. Here we go. So when people run for the office of president, they normally come in with ideas about what they're going to achieve, what their goals are. And when you hear the main poll of 10 Democratic people saying basically, the way that we're going to run, our job is to get rid of the xenophobic, homophobic, racist, bigot, Donald Trump, who's ripping children from the hands of their parents and dividing our nation. I mean, you could only hear that for so long and then look at reality and say, what lens are you people looking through? What lens are you people looking through? And it's a very scary thought. Scary idea to think that we are in such a condition in this country. To help me, I want to bring my dear friend Daniel onto the broadcast. Maybe he watched a little bit of it last night. Good morning, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Good morning, brother. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Where you are, did you, talk a little bit about the Democratic debate last night? Did you get a chance to view that or take anything away from it?
I didn't get to watch the debate, however, I got to hear other people comment on it. From what I could gather, it seems that a lot of the candidates were still trying to outwoke each other. And by outwoke, I mean they are basically being radical with a lot of their policies, they're appeasing the Twitterati. In other words, they are appealing the hard left rather than trying to find middle ground with conservatives. And I think that strategy is going to backfire for the big time.
Well, absolutely. And Daniel, quite frankly, when you look out at the I'm going to share a scary thought here in just a moment. But when you look out at the field, there was one gal there last night. She was hardly ever referred to. She had the longer brown hair. I don't know her name, but she was pretty intense. And she seemed to have a greater intelligence, even though her intelligence was a little bit twisted, where she was coming from. But beyond that, there's nobody on that stage that's going to Donald J. Trump in an election. Nobody, not even Peter Buttigieg, who is the outspoken homosexual man who's married to another man. He raised more money than everybody out there, but it doesn't look like there's any contest whatsoever.
Yeah. So I think you're referring to Marianne Williamson.
Maybe. She was the one on the far left with the longer brown hair?
Yes.
Far left of the stage, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, she pretty much dominated the whole debate, which is interesting because she's an outsider. Not very many people have heard of her. In fact, she was the most Googled candidate after the debate.
Well, that is interesting because that's kind of what I walked away with as well. Now, Daniel, I shared a dream, and we need to get back into her philosophy, what she's all about. And I had a dream two mornings ago. I shared it with some friends of ours, and I only shared it once. I'm going to share it now so people could really pray. But yesterday morning, I woke up having a dream, and in my dream, Joe Biden had won the election. He had become the president of the United States. And when I woke up, immediately the very first thought came into my mind, and I shouted out to Patricia. I don't even know if she was awake or not at the moment, but I said, is it legal, is it possible for Joe Biden, if he were elected president, to select Barack Obama as his vice president? And neither one of us really understood. And then I asked Pastor Ken about it. He knows a little bit more about the politics. And he said, yeah, it would be legal to do that. And I thought to myself, can you imagine If that is a revealed plan of the enemy or the left to get Joe Biden with the understanding that he's going to select Barack Obama, you know, that's something that really needs to be contended with in prayer, would you think?
Well, yes, but I think there are constitutional preventions that would stop that from happening. But that said, if it did happen, it would be interesting because if something were to happen to Biden, if he were to be impeached or if he was removed from office, by default, that would make Barack Obama president again.
Right? Yeah, so I want to know, maybe somebody could help us today. I want to know if that's possible if Joe Biden were elected, if he has the right to choose Barack Obama to be his vice president. And, you know, they would run that on a, you know, look, just think of
Hello? Hello?
All right, so I think we got knocked off the air there just a little bit, and we'll wait for Daniel to call back in here, and I will get to you right now. Okay, Daniel, sorry about that. We just got knocked out off the air for a moment. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. In fact, this is a lot better because I had a really bad echo when I was talking to you before.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. So, thinking what a campaign to see Joe Biden selecting Barack Obama, and they, you know, the cheer. So we need to find out if that's legal, and if it is, maybe revealed something by a dream. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but he did dream it, and maybe that's what's in the works right now. So if anybody out there can confirm or not confirm whether or not that would be legal constitutionally speaking, please let us know. But Daniel, move forward, sir. What are you thinking about this moment?
Well, I am basically praying for the people of the United States that they would pray for the leadership of your country, because President Trump basically is not going to succeed or get anything done or even come close to making America great again unless the Lord is the one who does that. And so we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for him that he's protected. We need to pray that there is a hedge of protection around him and his family, and not only him but also those who are within his cabinet, those the people who within his administration. We need to lift him up in prayer on a constant basis, because the left is going to stop at nothing to bring him down. And we saw that with the Mueller hearings a few days ago, which basically was a disaster for the Democrats. But really, it shows the totalitarian heart of the Democrats, because they are absolutely hell-bent on impeaching and removing President Trump, which, by the way, just goes to show how communist they are at heart in rejecting the will of the people. He is a duly elected president. He is elected by the people, and these people, such as Nadler and Schiff, will stop at nothing to remove this duly elected president. Just goes to show just how hardcore they are in their totalitarianism. So we need to continue to pray for the government, because here's the thing, if America goes down, we all go down, the free world is finished. And a lot of people need to understand that. This is why in other parts of the world, such as Australia, here and also the United Kingdom, there is such a fascination with American politics. We understand that with American the politics revolving within America has worldwide ramifications, and that's why we follow it with such great interest all these miles away. So, yeah, so there is a huge implications and ramifications leading up to 2020, because if the Democrats succeed in getting one of their own in, I believe it'll be lights out for America. So they will basically bring in the massive amounts of illegal immigrants. They will declare amnesty for the illegal immigrants already in America, and that will effectively make America ruled by it'll be a one-party state. It'll be a one-party state. It'll be extremely difficult for the Republicans to get another president in within the foreseeable future.
So they have an end goal in mind, and I think it's very interesting. When I listen to what many of these people are saying on the left, that they really don't have the people's best interest in mind. I mean, the whole idea that Donald Trump is ripping children from their parents and Donald Trump is ripping the nation apart. Now, Pastor David Lankford yesterday came out with a video. I think it was from probably 10 days ago. I forget the full date. But I've met David Lankford at a couple of conferences. I met him down in Florida at one of True News's gatherings, and I met him over in Missouri, Branson. And he came out with a warning, and it was a very dire warning.
Hello. Hello.
All right, so I'm not sure what happens there, but we are obviously having a little technical difficulties today. Guaranteed they will not be there tomorrow. We are actually in a remote location, and let me see if I can get Daniel back on the line here. I know he's around and about. There he is. All right, Brother Daniel, sorry about that, but we were hearing everything you had to say, and I think where I was going was there's got to be a better people on the left. It's like, well, what is your end game? What do you really want to accomplish? Because I know you're not there to save the families that are coming across the border. I know you're not there to, you know, just make everybody happy with your health care plans and your socialist ideas. You know, what is your real desire? What is the real genuine design? And Daniel, from everything you know and you have taught and what you have learned through the years, what would you say the end goal of these present attempts to take power?
It's power by all means necessary. That's the bottom line.
It's
power.
It's power.
No matter what you have to do, no matter how many laws you have to break, how many lies you have to tell, it's power at any cost.
And what kind of power are we talking about here? I mean, what kind of power do they want? Is it just they want to be rich? What is their desire?
Essentially, well, we should mention that because, as Jesus said, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you look behind the agendas of which all these Democrats have basically, corrupt Democrats, going after power, you can basically see the money trail. These politicians are becoming enriched through their political careers. I mean, just look at Elijah Cummings. Just look at Maxine Waters. Just look at the Clintons.
Just look at
all of these career politicians. Nancy Pelosi is another example. They have become enriched through their political careers. And so basically, their hold on power is driven by their love of money and their ability to hold on to that power by all means necessary.
Wow. Okay, so again, the desire for wealth, the desire for power, the love of money, and, you know, eventually into the biblical narrative of the last time where there will be a ruling power that will not necessarily benefit the nations, although we find in the book of Revelation, Daniel, when it comes to Babylon again, we find that everybody that does business with Babylon who receives the mark of the beast, I mean, they are getting wealthy. The merchants of the earth are getting wealthy. The citizens of Babylon are buying of their goods. So we're not talking about a, you know, a poverty-stricken thing. It seems as though the narrative is that the only poor people on the earth at that time are the people that won't receive the mark, and they will not be able to buy or sell. So is this all moving towards that universal digital identity, that mark of the beast, that one world government? And I think we all believed that, well, by the time Babylon gets here, it's all plugged in and she comes to the zenith of her power, it's going to be smoke bombs and everything else. But in reality, what you're going to have are the nations of the earth at their highest performance ever in the history of the world. Babylon is coming to her zenith of power before she's destroyed, and it's during that time that the saints have to have the patience and the wisdom of Christ not to receive that mark. So is this moving in that direction from your perspective?
Yes, and you know, I see an interesting country that you need to look at. And that's the country of Sweden. You know, Sweden, the people of Sweden, more and more Swedes are actually being microchipped. They're receiving microchips in their hands. And I think that is extraordinary because Sweden, along with probably Belgium, are two of the most European nations that are probably the closest to becoming capitulating to Islam. So it's almost like the infrastructure for totalitarian rule is already being laid in place. It's already being implemented. So by the time the Islamists come to power, the infrastructure will already be there.
Exactly. So this is the building block, really. Daniel, I've got a call coming in. Maybe we're going to get an answer to our question. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we lost that call. That's okay. I think somebody was going to call about the issue of Joe Biden choosing Barack Obama, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. So, yeah, everything is being built, and this is what I've been sensing, so many other people have been sensing for a long time, is that all of the components of they do exist. There's not one component that does not exist, but they're all being put together. And there are certain crises or false flag events or different things, which is in accordance with Revelation chapter 1, that things come together because of necessity. In other words, events happen that create the coming together of this great Babylon in the last days and all the that accompany it. And so the components are there. They're being put together in the world, electronic connectedness, the United Nations. We get into all of that. And then all together, they plug it in. And that's what everything is moving, which is a pure sign, in my understanding, to God's people to begin to hear that trumpet sound, come out of her, my people. And Jesus warned that it will come like a snare upon the whole earth, and they will not escape. And how sensitive must we be at this time to really hear the voice of the Spirit of God? And are we beginning to hear that voice because of what we're seeing through the biblical lens as everything is coming together so quickly right now?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely,
it is.
I'll say something interesting about
Babylon.
Revelation 17 speaks about mystery Babylon the Great. In other words, this is going to be the Babylon of all Babylons. Now, what was significant about ancient Babylon? Ancient Babylon was filled with many different people groups. Like, basically, it was entire nations within Babylon. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. We can see it with America. You know, there are entire nations
even within America.
And, you know, when you look at the book of Jeremiah, especially when you look at chapter 50 and 51, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 is indispensable in understanding Revelation 17 and 18. So, there's a few very fascinating verses. So there's two interesting verses in chapter 50. Let me read
it to you.
So here's Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 28. It says, listen to the fugitives and refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance. And then in Jeremiah 50, verse 37, a sword against her hordes and chariots and all the foreigners in her ranks. And they will become women, a sword against her treasures, they will be plundered. And then look at Jeremiah chapter 51. Let's look at verse 2. It says, I will send foreigners to Babylon to winnow her and to devastate her land. And they will oppose her on every side in the day of her disaster. And then in verse 14, the Lord Almighty has sworn by himself, I will surely fill you with men. And there's a swarm of locusts, and they will shout in triumph over you. And then in Jeremiah 51, verse 44, I will punish Bel in Babylon and will make him spew out what he has swallowed. The nations will no longer stream to him. Let me just say that again. The nations will no longer stream to him, and the wall of Babylon will fall. Isn't it absolutely fascinating, that insight in regard to the hordes of people within Babylon?
Daniel, are you there, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're bringing up some amazing points. I got bumped off a little bit, and I wanted to just kind of bring this conversation, and I may have missed something, so if I did, just straighten me out on it. But everything you're reading in 51 that connects to Revelation 17, 18, what we read about in Isaiah 13, Isaiah 24, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm beginning to understand in my thinking, the scriptures, is we know that the destruction of Babylon is going to come. What I haven't heard too many people really talking about is how Babylon will be in the death of her power while she's riding the beast during the Great Tribulation. And so my view of knowing that Babylon is destroyed, but we are a people marching towards the moment where Babylon is coming to her zenith of power, where she's riding the beast and she's fresh and ready to go in her 3.5-year great global tribulation, where she's drunk with the blood of the prophets and the saints. So are we in agreement that we're marching towards the zenith of the Babylon of all Babylons, that she's not really yet globally where she's going to be here very shortly?
Prostitute riding on this beast precludes the three and a half years.
The time will come when the beast will hate the prostitute, eat her flesh, bring her to her ruin, and burn her with fire.
I believe that moment, when that happens, is synonymous with the restrainer. Because some people have said the restrainer represents the Holy Spirit, it represents the church. Not necessarily. There are some scholars that believe that Paul is referring to a kingdom or a nation or an empire. And if you could just imagine what would happen if America lost her status as the global policeman. If she was unceremoniously removed from the world stage. And she lost her military prowess. Then you can just begin to imagine the chaos that would begin to be unleashed upon the world.
Yeah, it would be huge. And I guess the question that someone has asked once before about this, if America is Babylon, then how is America the restrainer nation from, you know, the beast that would come to power? Because we know in the book of Revelation that both the beast and the false prophet of Revelation 13 will be cast into the lake of fire. And then we know Babylon will be ultimately destroyed and burned with fire. So the restraint that we are witnessing from this global one world empire, you're saying that it has been the independent sovereign Christian aspect of the United States of America, or has it been the laws?
Go ahead and speak into that. Because that correlates with Daniel 12, verse 7. Let me read it to you. It says, the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, It will be for a time and half a time. Okay, so that's talking about the Great Tribulation. When is that going to happen? It says, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. So I believe that there is a very clear link to the restrainer right there in the book of Daniel. In chapter 12, verse 7, when the power of the holy people has finally been broken. I believe that is what is holding the men of lawlessness back. And when the power of the godly people within America and throughout the West has been broken, with how that happens, it could very well be through an international incident, through a nuclear disaster that hits multiple different cities around the world. That could be the catalyst in which the United Nations usurps power and consolidates power. That could be the catalyst. Of course, I'm speculating, this is conjecture, but I believe that there is a very strong case to be made that that is what the restrainer is.
Amazing. Great connection there. Hey, I've got a call coming in. Maybe you're going to help us right now with our thought about Barack and Joe Biden. Let me just take this quick and say good morning to our friends in South Dakota. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, anybody out there in South Dakota land?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Do you have information for us?
As of right now, Daniel's voice is echoing.
Terrible. Okay.
And my
yeah,
voice
is
that, it is.
Do you want me to ring back?
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel. We'll bring you back in because we're talking about
all right,
important
I'll
stuff. So let's do that
right,
one more
back.
Time. Okay, Ken, thank you for that information.
Okay. I'm going to hang up.
So, Ken, before you go, though, do you know if okay, I think we lost Ken. All right, so we'll get Daniel back on here. I think some very powerful connections are being made right now. So, Daniel, why don't you just pick it up, and hopefully that's a better connection for you.
Back. All right, so I'm just going to say testing 1, 2, 3. And
I hear you good.
An echo
and
there.
Echo there.
Okay. Well, our technology today was not as good as it needs to be, and we'll definitely be working on that. I hear you loud and clear coming through our system, so I'm not sure where the echo is coming from, but why don't we just go ahead and continue on. Was there something else you wanted to add to we're saying?
Well, I just think that the end time processes are a lot more simple than we actually realize. So I think there are a number of different things that in regard to the end times that are actually often one and the same thing. And again, the restrainer is one of those things that correlates with Revelation 17 and 18. Because once the power of the godly people, in other words, the power of the holy people has been broken, and they have lost their influence, then it just makes sense. It's like the globalists have seized control. The American Constitution is no longer honored or adhered to. And then we have a global reign of terror in which the Christians will be persecuted, the Jews will be hunted down all over the earth. And this will be go on for 3.5 years. By the way, I should point out that Revelation 12 says that the remnant of Israel, which represents the woman who fled into the desert, the Bible says that the earth will swallow up the spew that the dragon drew forth to try and overtake the woman, but it says that the earth opened up. And it is protecting the woman. So I believe that the remnant of Israel will be protected for 3.5 years.
However, I would imagine.
Because the devil cannot get to this remnant, what does it say? It says that he will then go off to go after Christians. Let me find the exact.
Yeah, Revelation 12. Yeah, Revelation 12:17, I think it is.
Correct.
And
correct.
Yes. There
it
will
says,
be those.
The dragon was enraged at the woman,
and
went off to wage war
against
the rest
of her offspring.
Those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So you're suggesting that the remnant of the seed will, and this is Revelation 17 again, those 144,000 that are marked, the untold multitude that are going
yes.
into the great tribulation yes. and out. So if we were to put this together properly, Daniel, would you say that the prophecies that we have heard, the things that God, we believe the Holy Spirit has revealed, that there is a coming disaster upon the United States. We're already seeing the four winds of judgment in all the events that have been happening since 9/11, 2001. In my understanding of the upgraded, up-leveled, more intensified, accelerated events like a woman in travail, that there is coming a breaking point upon this nation, which could be the devastating attack from the beast kingdom, if you will, nullifying the holy people's power for that period of time. The United Nations world government coming to power, ruling and reigning, setting up their system where everything moves forward. But after this massive disaster, now
hello. Hello.
Yeah, Daniel, I apologize for that. We're just having a lot of technical issues right now. When we'll get a call back from him. Let me bring him on the air. So, Daniel, I don't know what the last thing you heard, but I was just wondering if this is all consistent. If you heard about the judgment, the collapse on the U.S., the holy people's power stifled, then comes this system and begins the greatest tribulation ever hit the face of the world. Are we in agreement with that?
Yeah, I believe so, because, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Vincent, because God says in the book of Jeremiah, in regard to Israel, he says, where are your allies? They are not found anywhere. They are not to be found anywhere. In other words, God is saying to Israel that all of her allies have actually departed her. And she basically has no more. That's a prophecy to say that America is not going to be there for Israel forever. You know, there is a use-by date on the relationship between the United States and Israel. And the time will come when Israel will look to America and America will not be there. As God says, you know, where are your allies? There are nowhere to be found.
So, Daniel, let's shift for just a moment. I need to get this information out in case we get disconnected again. You are preparing for a trip to the United States of America where you're bringing a message, and you're going to be all over the place, as I understand it. And we're focused right now, and yet other people, you need to tell them where you're going to be unless they get out that way. But you're going to be ministering Arkansas on August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. New Wine Ministry will be hosting you, and which is our joy and honor to do so. And you're bringing this message, Israel, Islam, and the end times. And you're going to be sharing a lot of these particular thoughts in detail with people that are interested in knowing how this is all connecting together. We're very much looking forward to that. Go ahead and speak into your itinerary while we can about the plans are here in just about a week for you, seeing this is the last day of July, and then we'll pick it up from there. Give us a little itinerary information.
Sure. So I fly out on the 6th of August, and I arrive in the United States on the 6th of August, which is the Tuesday. So I'll be conducting our next radio interview from Wednesday morning from Tyler, Texas. I will be speaking at the Understanding the Times conference held at Green Acres Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. So as I understand, it is quickly filling up. We're approaching 900 delegates, which is fantastic. And then I'll be speaking on the 10th of August, and then immediately after that I'll be heading to the airport and heading up to Toronto, Canada, and which I'll be attending the LCJE International Conference, which is the Conference on Jewish Evangelism. And then after that, I'll be catching a bus from Toronto down to the U.S. border, seeing the Niagara Falls, flipping across the border, and catching a plane from Buffalo to New York City. And there I'll be speaking at a Combined Churches event from Long Island, New York. And then after that, I have no idea what I'll be doing over the next 3 to 4 days. I was hoping on getting down to Virginia and North Carolina, but I'm not 100% sure where that's going to materialize. I've got a feeling that God has got something in store for that period. So I'm just waiting on the Lord to see what he says and what he does, and in regard to that time. So I could very well end up in Washington, D.C. I'm not 100% sure. But after that period, I'll then be heading to Northwest Arkansas. So I'm looking forward to coming back to my second home. And so I'll be spending a week there and speaking at the conference with New Wine Ministries. So, and then after that, I'll be flying back to Tyler, Texas, where I've got a few more speaking engagements with prayer breakfasts and churches and other events. So, and then after that, I'll be home. So I'm really looking forward to it. I believe that the Lord has got a lot for me to impart, and looking forward to seeing some old friends and making some new friends.
Oh, outstanding. Now, let me just ask this a little bit further. The Feast of Tabernacles is going to celebrate to the 20th. Do you have any plans to where you're going to be ministering or going for the Feast of Tabernacles yet?
No, I don't have any plans. But again, brother, if this is something that's on your heart and this is something that's in God's will, I'll be more than happy to be a part of it.
Well, let's absolutely pray that in. Yeah, I think it definitely. You know, your love for the Feast of Tabernacles. I remember the very first time you left the shores of Australia, you were in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. And what a great time. And to think that this is Feast of Tabernacles 2019, in the Hebrew calendar, it'll be, 5780. And if you know, there's so much around it. What a moment of time we are in right now. And as God's children, prepared to stand strong in these last days. We know we are equipping people with knowledge and information and instruction for what is coming, but the most important thing is the intrinsic walk that we have with God, that personal, intimate relationship, and to be able to genuinely walk through what's coming down the pike, whereas the majority of Christians around the world, Daniel, have somewhat of a hilarity to them, believing that they're not going to walk through these difficult days because they will be removed from the earth prior to the Great Tribulation. Speak into that just for a moment.
Yeah, that's right. Like you were saying before, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. In fact, you know, the most important feast on, well, it's not exactly a feast, but the most important appointed time on the Jewish calendar is obviously Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the most important. It's the highest holy day on the Jewish calendar. But, you know, the appointed time that the Jews really look forward to is not Yom Kippur, but Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, because this is when, almost as if God snaps his fingers and says, get me a DJ. Really is a time of momentous joy and celebration, because there's 7 days of dancing and singing and feasting. It really is a spectacle, a wonderful time. And what we are celebrating in our time every year is a foreshadowing of what we are to expect in the millennium, which is going to be something to behold. But yes, as you were saying before, there are people that are sorely going to be tested in regard to the Great Tribulation. And this is why we need to do our best to wake up the church. You know, there is not going to be this secret coming, this secret rapture in which the church is going to be taken out and we're not going to be around. I think that's probably one of the most insidious lies that the devil has told, that has only ever really been around since 1840 through John Nelson Darby. But unfortunately, the church is going to be left unprepared and inevitably will be left disillusioned. So we need to prepare the church as much as we possibly can to get the church to prepare in many ways. But we also need to prepare the church to basically prepare for suffering. It's interesting because the president of Open Doors USA said, he came out just recently and he said that the church lacks a theology of suffering. And he's absolutely correct. We would not know how to endure what the Chinese underground Chinese church endures on a daily basis. You know, America and Australia basically enjoy the most incredible comforts and luxuries. And we've taken it for granted. You know, I really believe that unfortunately the time will come when we will have the rug pulled out from underneath us, and then we will know that Christ is enough.
Daniel, how do you tell people that are living in the lap of luxury, enjoying the strongest economy they've ever known before, that the future is Nazi Germany, unrestrained, no resistance, and here it is?
Well, yeah, you're right. And you know what they said about Germany? They said that could never happen to Germany because this is Christian Germany. This could never happen to Christian Germany. And Germany was, when you look at continental Europe, Germany was the nation which was referred to as the most Christian nation. Christian Germany, and they thought it could never happen to Christian Germany. Well, it can also happen to Christian America. People need to know that if it could happen to Christian Germany, then it could happen to Christian America. And this is what the church needs to wake up to.
So, Neil, I don't know if I was knocked off or not. I'm back on the air again. But as we're going to approach the end of this broadcast today, I wanted to make sure Daniel's still there with me. So how do you tell people that are that the persecution of the Jews in Nazi Germany is exactly what's coming, and yet how they can't see that? I mean, the only way they could possibly see that is by opening their eyes to what the scripture says, getting tunnel vision of what their denominational structure teaches, allowing the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the reality of Bible prophecy being fulfilled all around. How would you put it all together and tell someone, living in the luxury of life, get ready, because in a moment things are going to shift and this is what's going to happen? How do you do that?
Well, you're absolutely right, because the left, they are baying for blood. They want revenge on conservatives, and this is what they're crying out for. I mean, just look in the media, look in the press, look what you can hear what they're saying. They are waiting for their time of revenge, because the moment they get in the power, all hell's going to break loose, and they will exact their revenge on every Trump supporter, everyone who basically spoiled their party in 2016. You know, it's not social justice that they want, it's revenge that they want. And they are going to come down hard upon the church. And, you know, they're going to be pushing through this, the Equality Act. If they push through, the Democrats push through this Equality Act, it'll be lights out for freedom of a religion. It'll be lights out for freedom of speech. You know, the freedoms that you enjoy right now will be canceled out by this Equality Act. And this is the way in which they can actually subvert the Constitution. This is the ingenious way in which they can get around the Constitution. And so it really is just God has provided a reprieve, and he's given an opportunity for the church to get right and to make preparations. And it's almost as if we're seeing a repeat of what we saw in the story of Joseph, because there were 7 years of great providence and great success and great abundance, but then it was followed by 7 years of horrific famine. And so it's almost following a similar pattern to that because, you know, the economy has never been better. I mean, the Dow Jones is over 26,000. The GDP percent is sitting at about 4.3%. So the economy has never been booming as much as it is now. The employment rate is record low, not just for America across the board, but also for minorities, for Hispanics and blacks. Trump has just done an incredible job with the economy and with the employment. And so, but all that will change. All that will change at the moment a Democrat gets in. It will be all hell will break loose. They will grant amnesty to the illegal alien, and it'll be lights out. As I said before, it'll be a one-party state after that.
Well, amen. And it goes beyond just a Democrat. You know, we in America, I did something very much on purpose yesterday, when three people were killed at a garlic festival in California. Tragic, but I purposely started the broadcast with the 65 Nigerians that were slaughtered at a funeral service and how thousands of Christians in Nigeria have been slaughtered. And, you know, we get this American mindset that, you know, gosh, we had three people that were killed, which is tragic, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But around the world, we're seeing such violence and such hatred and such murder and such bloodshed that we really can't grasp it. It's kind of like living in Northwest Arkansas thinking we're Babylon, and you don't get it until you go to New York City and see it for yourself. So in just a moment here, Daniel, we're going to say goodbye. It's been a tough program. My deepest apologies, Adam, as we go. I'm going to be running over to KERM Radio, 1 hour broadcast at KERM. And why don't you finish up the broadcast with a word of encouragement, exhortation, admonition to the body of Christ. Forward to seeing you on August 23rd and praying for you for your successful one in the spirit of Christ.
Thank you, brother. I would just say that we need to encourage one another in regard to the end times. You know, Paul said in regard to the end times that he said, therefore encourage one another with these words. It seems strange that in regard to the tumult and the chaos and the persecution that we could find encouragement in that. But there is. There's great encouragement to know that the Lord is so close, that he is at the door, the White House, the White Horse is being saddled, and he is almost going to be in our midst. So there is just a short period of time in which we need to go through travail, but at the end we'll be wearing the crown of righteousness. So it's going to be a wonderful time of celebration when Jesus will be crowned King of the world from Jerusalem, and we will all be there at the wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a momentous occasion that will be, when we will be overtaken with joy, and everlasting joy will crown our heads. And that is something to look forward to. It just makes the suffering and the trials seem like a very light, momentary affliction compared to the glory that will be revealed within us.
Well, 90 seconds. Daniel, well said. You know, it's interesting today, July 31st, two calves, well, they're a little bit older than calves. We've been raising up two calves, and they're going to be slaughtered today. And I feel the Lord say, I slaughtered my calves, and I've prepared a feast, and I want to encourage everybody that the Feast of Tabernacles, October 13th to the 20th, we need to celebrate it somewhere. We certainly want to invite you to come on out and encourage Daniel to come on out for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe it's a strategy in the kingdom of heaven to impart revelation to the people of God here ahead. And most particularly, as we gather together, we're going to see August and September goes, these last parts of the summer months. So definitely put on your calendar October 13th to the 20th, and most definitely get August 23rd, 4th, and 5th on your calendar. Daniel and a few other surprises will probably be in Northwest Arkansas to share the word of God, to impart information, revelation. We'll get to meet one another face-to-face. And Daniel, I want to say thank you for staying with us today. God bless you, my friend. I know it's late where you are. Have a super abundant rest, and we will see you next Wednesday. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
All right, Daniel Second joining us. We've got 10 seconds. I'm going to say goodbye. God bless. Remember, Omega Radio is broadcasting. See you all next week. I'm going to KURM Radio, KURM.net, if you'd like to join us. Until then, shalom.